We will be able to, through the night and the classes that we will lead in the following weeks, be able to give you a little vision of what might take place here in the greater Philadelphia area in the days to come. I am a layman, and most of you are laymen here tonight. I was brought up not far from here, I suppose 300 or 400 miles in Olean, New York. I was raised in a little Evangelical United Brethren church, and from just a little boy, just old enough to walk, I went to Sunday school. I can remember in Sunday school my teacher giving me a little booklet from A to Z on scripture memory. The first verse was, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The second verse, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The third verse, "Christ died for the ungodly," and so on. A booklet from A to Z with scriptures beginning with each letter of the alphabet. And I grew up in Sunday school and in the church there. And after getting out of high school, I went into the Bradford oil fields, where I worked for 7 years in the fields. Just before I went into the oil fields, the Lord Jesus got a hold of my life. One night I was sitting in the First Baptist Church of Olean, New York. Now, I'd been in church for these many years, I suppose at least 14 years continually from about the age of 2. And yet, through all of this Sunday school teaching and good preaching, and I mentioned I memorized verses as a little boy, I had never really come to know the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. We were having evangelistic meetings. My mother was attending the First Baptist Church, and so I attended on a Sunday night with her. And that night, at the age of 16, for the first time in my life, God the Holy Spirit began to work in my life, and I realized that I was a sinner in need of salvation. Oh, true, I'd been going to church all these years. I tried to live as a good boy. I believed in Jesus and so on, but I had never received him as my Savior. And I can remember as clear as I'm standing here tonight, when Dr. Troy gave the invitation that Sunday night, God the Holy Spirit convicted me of my need of a personal faith in Jesus Christ. And when the invitation was given, I was one of the first ones to get up and go forward. I've been away from Olean. I went into the service for 4 years. And after 4 years in the service, I entered college and spent 4 years in college. I haven't quite finished as yet, but in my fourth year, Dr. Graham came to Houston, Texas. I was attending school in Fort Worth at the time, and I had an opportunity of coming onto the team and helping in the counseling and follow-up department. And so for the past 9 years, it has been my privilege of traveling with the team, working in counseling and follow-up. Now as we come to Philadelphia, of course I come with a real desire to see God work as he has worked in other places. Philadelphia reminds me very much of the city of Sydney, Australia, a city of about 2.5 million people. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Philadelphia has about the same population. In 4 weeks in Sydney, we saw nearly 1 million people coming to the crusade meetings which were held at the fairgrounds. Approximately 31,000 people came night after night after night to hear the gospel message. And when the invitation was given, 2,100 people, an average of 2,100 people, came forward night by night to make decisions for Jesus Christ. For the 4 weeks, 56,000 people. We were in New York for 16.5 weeks. We had 56,000 people coming forward there in 16.5 weeks. In Sydney, in 4 weeks, the same number of people. Only God knows what can happen here in the greater Philadelphia area. We are in a center of population greater perhaps than in any other crusade that we have ever had. And I believe under God that this will be the greatest event in the history of the church here in Philadelphia. And if God's people, by the multiplied hundreds and by the multiplied thousands, will do as they have done in other cities and other crusades, we can't help but see the greatest crusade we have ever known. I know you are interested in this. Your pastor is interested in this. And we hope that other multiplied thousands of people will be interested enough to pray and to get into this thing with all of their heart. We're going to talk a little later on in our classes about Operation Andrew. And you will be hearing about this plan through your minister. A plan that we have been using now since 1954. It's taken from John 1:41. He, Andrew, first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. When Andrew came to Jesus, he had one desire and one thought in his mind, that he might go after his brother Peter and bring him to the Savior. Operation Andrew is a plan to get the lay folk in the greater crusade area burdened enough to go out after friends around them at work, in schools, in their communities, and begin praying for them and interesting them in the greater Philadelphia crusade, to the end that when the meetings begin, they will invite them to go, and we trust that God will do a deep work of grace in the heart and lives of thousands of people night by night. Your church stands to get great gains through the counselor training program, yes, and you may get a great number of referrals through the crusade. I have found that the churches that put the most into something like this are the churches that get the most out of it. One church in Sydney, mind you, received over 300 new people in a four-week crusade, because this church was in the crusade with its whole heart and with a great effort. Over 300 new names. I received a letter just today from a pastor in Miami, and he said that his church took in 88 new people just through a three-week crusade in Miami. Well, we trust that God will do a great thing in the greater Philadelphia area in the days that lie ahead. So much for that. We're starting the counselor training tonight, and I'm sure that you have a good many questions in your mind. You should have your lecture notes in front of you. We have 3 pages for you of lecture notes, and you should have some other materials, a gospel sheet, and a home Bible study assignment, and an attendance record. I will hope that as we go along that you will be able to take additional notes. I'll try to speak slowly. And if you need anything repeated, raise your hand and perhaps we can see that that is taken care of. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, why do we have counselors? Another question is, how do I become a counselor? Another question, if I do become a counselor, how much am I obligated to the crusade? Another question is, well now, with all of the counselors coming to your meeting, where will they sit? How will you take care of them? Another question often asked is, what do I do during the invitation? Or what do I do during the counseling? What will be my follow-up responsibilities? And so, we'll try to answer most of these questions tonight, and all of them, at least sometime during the 7 weeks of classes. First of all, then, why do we have counselors? A few years ago, Dr. Graham was having trouble sleeping nights. He would lie in his bed and he would see a sea of faces before him, people coming forward in the meetings. And he got to wondering, I wonder if these people really are being helped. I wonder if they're going back into churches for further nurture and help. I wonder where they'll be a year from now. And it bothered him a great deal, and so he asked a man who had quite a bit of experience in following up of young Christians to come onto the team to help in the counseling and follow-up work. This man joined the team in Fort Worth, Texas in 1951. They organized the ministers and the Christian businessmen together, and from that time on, we have endeavored before every crusade to organize the churches in a great counselor training and follow-up program. Why counselors? First of all, then, a counselor's responsibility is to help secure commitments or to help the inquirer to a knowledge of the Savior. The main objective of this crusade, of course, is to win men to Jesus Christ. Secondly, to strengthen the local church. And so the message each night will be evangelistic. The evangelist will point out that men are sinners in need of salvation, that they cannot save themselves, that Jesus Christ died to save mankind, wants to save man, and will save mankind if he'll only open his heart, acknowledge his need, and open his heart to the Lord Jesus. And so there will be the evangelistic message preached to a point of commitment night by night in the crusade. Then there will be an invitation for people to receive Jesus Christ by faith. Now I mentioned in Sydney, night after night, an average of 2,100 people got out of their places to come and stand at the front. We had over 5,000 counselors in Sydney. We had over 9,000, close to 10,000 that took the counselor training program. Many of them didn't apply finally for counseling, but out of all of those that applied, we had over 5,000 well-qualified to do the personal work counseling night by night in the meetings. These counselors were seated strategically throughout the great auditorium there in Sydney, and as people got out of their seats to come forward, they were joined by counselors of the same sex and approximate age and walked right down to the front with them. After the invitation was over, Dr. Graham would lead these who have come in prayer, and then he would say a few words to them, and then he would say, standing next to you as a counselor, a person wearing a little blue badge, or seated next to you. If we went into a counseling room, some nights we were inside, some nights outside. Seated next to you is a counselor. He is here to help you, to answer your questions, and to give you follow-up literature and so on. And so the counselor's responsibility then would be to take over, to ask a few leading questions, and then to open the scriptures and help confirm the commitment. I like to use the illustration of Philip. Led of the Holy Spirit, do you remember the passage in Acts 8? Led of the Holy Spirit, Philip went up to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch was reading the scriptures. And the passage where he read was Isaiah 53. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you read?" And the passage that he read was this: how a man, this man, was like a lamb led before the slaughter or dumb, but opened not his mouth. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you read?" And the man said, "How can I, except a man should sit down and help me?" And he desired Philip to sit down and help him. And so Philip sat down, and he took that same scripture and he preached Jesus to the man. He told the eunuch this scripture was speaking of the Lord Jesus, who was God's only begotten Son, who came into the world and so on, and he preached Jesus to him. Led him into a wonderful and personal relationship to Jesus Christ. And this will be your privilege and your responsibility as you stand with a person to help them to understand the message that was delivered, and through your efforts by the help of the Holy Spirit and the word of God, you will help these people night by night to come into a wonderful relationship to Jesus Christ, basing their faith, anchoring their faith in the Word of God. So primarily, your responsibility will be to help secure solid commitments. And then you will have a bit of follow-up responsibility. We will ask you, however, to phone right or visit each one you help within a matter of 24 to 48 hours to give any immediate help that might be necessary. Now then finally, as a responsibility, you will fill out a counseling card. You will secure certain information for us, which we will use in our church follow-up work and correspondence follow-up. So a counselor then will be responsible to help secure commitments. He will be responsible for a certain amount of follow-up work, and certainly all of you will want to help your church in follow-up. We hope that you will stand with your minister and you'll go out on visitation and do all that you can to conserve the fruits of this effort in the days that follow the crusade. Thirdly, then you will secure accurate information. Now, what about qualifications? We've listed a few things here. I'm sure that as you sit there tonight, you wonder, well, I don't know whether I would be able to do this work or not. Some of you may feel very confident. Well, I'll tell you this, that about 70% of the people taking the training all around the world have never previously had any experience in helping another person to Jesus Christ. So if you haven't, you're just one of the many. And I trust that this course will help to equip you to vocalize your faith and will result in your being able to help others to a knowledge of the Savior. First of all, under qualifications, we have a personal relationship to Christ with assurance. We're not going to say much about that tonight. We'll let the word speak for itself as we go on through this training course. Certainly, though, if you are to help another person come to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ, you need to know him personally yourself. And the scripture points out that we can know him and we ought to know him. In every class that I've ever taught, we have had people who have been recommended to the class by the church, but who have not had a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. I remember one man in Sydney, a solicitor, a lawyer. After several classes, he came up to me one night and he said, "Charlie, I'd like to have a few words with you sometime. Could we have lunch together?" And in a few days, I joined him. And he said, "You know, I always thought I was a good Christian." He said, "Here I am, 60 years of age. I've always tried to be honest in my business. I've taken care of my family well, attended church regularly, lived a good life." He thought, "I wondered, what more could God want of me?" He said, "I did not see the significance of the cross until I realized that I was a sinner. In the course we've been memorizing scriptures, 'For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And as it is appointed unto men once to die.'" He said, "After I began to do this memory work and Bible study, I realized that I was a sinner, that I was separated from God by my sin, and I needed salvation. I needed deliverance. And only then did I realize why Jesus Christ died on the cross. And you know, I have received him just recently, and I wanted to tell you about that." And there may be some taking the training who will be just like this solicitor over in Sydney. A personal relationship to Christ with assurance is certainly necessary. Secondly, under qualifications, we have here a person walking in fellowship or abiding in him. When we come into the family of God, we come into the family of God with responsibilities. The scripture tells us we are no longer our own. We are to glorify God by the way that we live, by the things that we say and the things that we do. We are to be obedient to His blessed word, obedient to the Holy Spirit, and obedient to the will of God. But I'm sure that many of you know what it means to fall short day by day, perhaps slip here and there, follow afar off. I told you in my own experience, after receiving Christ at 16, I wandered far away. For many years I was in and out, up and down, out of fellowship and in fellowship, never happy. Life was a bore to me until the Lord Jesus began to work in my life and I began to meet the Lord daily in devotions, reading the scriptures and spending time in prayer. It may be that some of you tonight are out of fellowship and you need to come to the Lord asking Him for forgiveness. Experience is not a prerequisite. I mentioned to you that about 70% of the people taking the course have never had the privilege of leading another person to Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:13 tells us that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 29 tells us that God delights in choosing the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And it goes on to say some other things about whom God delights in choosing and using, all to the end that He might get the glory, because all the work is done truly by Him. Class attendance and completion of assignments is important. We will have 7 classes in all. We will expect you to attend 6 of the 7 classes. And there will be a homework assignment. We will keep a record of your completion of assignments. And we will keep a record of your attendance. And this will help to determine whether or not you qualify as a counselor. During the 5th week, we will give out counselor application forms. And it's at this time, if you are desirous of becoming a counselor, you must fill out the application form. Now, you can come to this training, go all the way through the course, and we hope it will be a benefit to you, and never apply for the training at all. However, if you would like to help us as a counselor, you must fill out the application form and bring it back to the 6th class. Remember that. Now then, how much training is involved? We mentioned already there will be 7 classes in all. There will be the lecture night by night. There will be the home assignment. The lecture will last approximately 45 minutes. Beginning with class number 2, at the start of the class, we will have a review of the scripture verses that you've learned and a review of the Bible study, the home Bible study, which you have completed. So be sure to do your homework. And we'll ask all of you to quote your verses as a group, and then as we go over the Bible study, we'll ask for hands, and we will have different ones give an answer to at least the pertinent questions in the Bible study. Now, the reason we space the classes is simply this. We want to give you time to do your homework so you can assimilate the material. I'm sure that it would be possible to have lectures several nights in a row, and you could attend perhaps 7 classes 7 nights in a row. But I doubt seriously whether you would get nearly the benefit out of it by simply listening to a lecture. Each class of instruction will be different, and I believe we can say that it becomes progressively more important. We build from 1 week to the next, and if you miss a step, you miss an important part of the training. In the home assignment, we will give you some reading to do. We will give you a certain amount of study. As a rule, there will be 10 questions based on the lecture. And there will be a certain amount of scripture memory work each week. I'd like to give you a little illustration, if I might, at this point. I mentioned that I was a layman, and most of you are laymen taking this training. You will never have an opportunity for perhaps a formal education, and yet, in a very real sense, God has called all of us to be His witnesses. We are ambassadors. We are responsible to let others know about Jesus Christ, not only by the way that we live, but also as we have opportunity to speak a word for the Lord Jesus. We are the ones, as laymen, who go out and come in contact with people day by day, in school, in the offices, and in the shop. I would be safe to say I'm sure that each one of us come in contact with at least a dozen people every day, and even more. And every one of these people are a potential for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be much in prayer that God will use us in reaching these people. But many times we perhaps are a little timid. We're afraid to approach people. And I think one of the reasons is that we just are afraid we wouldn't know what to say. I'm going to give you an illustration using the four fingers and the thumb that was handed to me, down to me several years ago, which I am convinced, if you will follow, in 6 months' time, you will see a difference in your own spiritual life. You will feel some new spiritual muscles bulging. I am confident of it. Each finger and the thumb represents a definite method of intake or retention of the Word of God, and each one becomes more important. The little finger represents hearing. The ring finger represents reading. The middle finger represents study. The index finger represents memory, and the thumb of meditation. In education, they teach us that you forget 90% of what you hear. You retain only 10%. If that is the case, then what you hear very largely goes in one ear and out the other. If you were content only to listen to the lecture, you would forget then a great deal of what I am trying to get across to you. And when you come into a counseling situation, you would be lost. You wouldn't know what to do. And so we want you to do more than listen to a tape. We want you to read the scriptures. And certainly, the scripture is food for the soul. It's necessary to our spiritual lives if we are going to grow day by day. We take time to eat three meals for the physical man. And the inner man needs to be fed just as much. And he is fed by the Word of God. And we need to have a daily Bible reading, which finds us regularly opening the Scriptures and spending time reading. If you don't have a habit of reading now, I would suggest that you start in the Gospel of John and read a chapter a day until the Lord Jesus comes, or until we go to be with Him. Reading. In Deuteronomy 17:19, we read this scripture. It shall be with him, the king, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and these statutes to do them. You retain from 20 to 40% of what you read. The middle finger, we said, represents study. You retain from 40 to 60% of what you study. We ought to have a program that finds us regularly studying the scriptures, looking for things in the Word of God. And so we are providing for you in our regular weekly lesson here, a Bible study. 40 to 60% of what you study. The index finger, we said, represents scripture memory. Now, if you memorize a verse properly, you should know it 100%. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Colossians 3:16 tells us to let the word of God dwell in our hearts richly by faith. Now we want you to memorize several verses during this course, not so that you can quote them. I believe the primary reason is that God the Holy Spirit might speak to our own hearts and then lead us in using these scriptures with someone else. Each scripture that we know is an index to spiritual truth. We don't want you to just quote verses. God the Holy Spirit will bring these verses to your remembrance as you need them, and you use them to open up to a whole chapter of truth. Open up and let the person read for himself the scripture that you want him to know. I'm confident that if you memorize the verses that we will assign to you week by week, that you will end up being able to vocalize your faith and to intelligently open the scriptures and help another person come into a saving relationship to Jesus Christ. Now then, we have the thumb of meditation. Joshua 1:8 tells us, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." We need to take time, all of us, to be quiet in the presence of God, a time when we can think about our life and think about the scriptures and apply the blessed truth of the word into our life. We need to think and meditate on the things that we hear. We need to think and meditate on the things that we read and what we study and the scriptures that we memorize, all to the end that we might apply them into our daily life. We learn in Joshua, when we're willing to do this, we will make our way prosperous and have good success. There we have the hand then. I call it the layman's grasp of the word, getting to know the scriptures, getting to know and retain blessed truth day by day, which we can use first in our own life, and then as the Holy Spirit gives opportunity, we can use what we have learned and applied in our life with others that he will lead us to. Now, in closing, I would like just to take a step further in amplifying this business of meditation and talk about daily devotions. Daily devotions. I don't know of a thing that will cause us to grow more, to live a more stable life, to have a greater dynamic in the Christian life, to have purpose for living and a vision. A dynamic, as I've mentioned, I don't know anything that will help more than a regular time with the Lord. Day by day, spending time in his presence. John 4:23 and 24 tells us, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." How about your devotional life? How much time do you spend with the Lord? When do you spend it? How much have you read the Bible today? Oh, you might say, I just haven't got to it yet. I plan on doing it tonight. Where did you read yesterday? How much time did you spend in prayer yesterday? Yet we want to grow and we want to be used by the Lord. I don't see how a man or a woman can live a dynamic, fruitful, victorious Christian life without spending time with the Savior day by day. It's impossible to grow in him. It's impossible to have victory over temptation and over the evil one without spending time with the Lord in prayer and feasting in the Word of God, because it's through the word that we have victory and that we grow And it's through prayer that we have guidance for our life and power and so on. I read recently of a great denomination here in America that polled its membership, man by man. And these are some of the statistics that they released. That less than 10% of this great denomination spent time regularly reading the Bible. Less than 10% spent time regularly in prayer. Oh, sometimes we say we have devotions, we read something off a calendar perhaps, or ask blessing over the meal and perhaps just extend it a little bit. But I mean really getting down on our knees and coming to grips with truth out of the Word of God and praying it in and looking to God for direction for the life and help. Every one of us are in problems and situations every day that are too big for us and too much for us. And it's impossible for us to live a life that will please Him without time and prayer and meditation. Less than 10% spent time regularly in prayer. Another statistic, less than 10% of the people were interested in their visitation program, going out, knocking on doors, endeavoring to lead people to Jesus Christ. I am confident that if we're not willing to pray, very few will be willing to go out interested in leading other people to Jesus Christ. And so we need to pray day by day that God will burden our hearts and lay people on our hearts and then go out visiting and endeavoring to win them to Jesus Christ. Dr. Graham will say, and he would say if he were here tonight, that he cannot start a day without spending time with the Lord. If he goes out into the day without his devotions, he realizes that more than ever before the attacks of the evil one, and he's more susceptible to his attacks. Here we have some wonderful examples of others who were faithful in devotions. The Lord Jesus himself in Mark 1:35, we read where Jesus, rising up a great while before day, went out into a solitary place and there prayed. Matthew 14:23 tells us that Jesus, when he had sent the multitudes away, went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. If Jesus needed to spend time in prayer, how much more do you and I need to spend time in daily prayer? A few practical suggestions before we close. Daniel gives us some wonderful suggestions out of his own life and habit, I believe. Set a time. Make up your mind. When is the best time for you? I believe morning is best, and I endeavor day by day to meet the Lord in the morning. I know that many of my friends and associates, if they were here, they would say the same thing. Set the alarm clock a little early in the morning and get up a little ahead of time and spend 10 or 15 minutes reading the Word of God and in prayer. Someone told me one night after one of these lectures, he said, "Mr. Riggs, maybe this is a good illustration. Does the soldier put his armor on when he goes to bed at night or when he goes out to fight in the morning?" Do you know that whether we are armed or clothed with an armor day after day, we are going out to fight a battle, to meet the evil one, and we are no match for him. We need to arm ourselves day by day as we go into the day also. So you set the time and then find a quiet place. More than anything else, I think, these days, we need to take time to be alone. We are continually on the go. We are continually in fellowship. We are never alone. And we need to take time to know God. Be still and know that I am God. Let God speak to you day by day through His Word. Draw nigh unto God and then you speak to him. And so a good quiet place alone is necessary. And then maintain the habit like Daniel did, even if it's only a few minutes a day. Get into the habit of it. We're creatures of habit. We do many things by habit. The devotional habit is something that every one of us needs to adopt and to get into. And so may God help us day by day to get into the habit of spending time with him. And then a program. Plan your time. Know what you're going to do. A great amount of time quite often is wasted because we don't know what we're going to do. And we can fiddle around and turn pages wondering, where shall I read this morning? Let's see, I read over in Isaiah yesterday. Maybe I'll try John today. Let's read consistently through the scriptures. And if you don't have a book you're reading in now, start with John. Read a chapter a day. And when you start, do like the psalmist. God, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And remember, John 14:26 tells us that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And when you go to the Word of God, expect to be fed, expect to be taught, expect the Holy Spirit to teach you something from your reading that day. Review the scripture verses. We're going to give you 2 verses a week now for the next few weeks. Work on your verses during your devotions until you know them backward and forward and can use them in witnessing day by day. And then spend time in prayer. I believe this is probably one of the simplest definitions in the Bible. Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4:10 called on the God of Israel saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Give me a greater ministry and that thine hand might be with me and that thou wouldst keep me from evil that it may not grieve me." And the last phrase is this, "And God gave him that which he had requested." Let's call out unto God like Jabez and ask him to enlarge our responsibility to keep us from evil, that his hand might be with us and that he might bless us. Organize your prayer time so that day by day you know for whom you're going to pray, your pastor, your family, people at work, missionaries. Have it well organized. And I'm sure that it will bring great blessing to your heart. As you know, in Proverbs we read, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. And so, have your prayer life organized. And then, pray. Scripture says, "Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss." I wonder if our lives are barren because we too have lacked spending time in prayer. Let's start right tomorrow morning. We've given you 2 or 3 things here in praying his will. John 5:14-15 tells us that we can have the confidence that if we ask in his will, we will receive things. Pray in his name. Jesus tells us, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it." And then let's take the admonition from James. When we pray, go to prayer in faith, believing that God will do it. Your home assignment, read a chapter a day, beginning with the first chapter of the Gospel of John, if you are not already engaged in a Bible reading program. If you are, then ignore this assignment. And then you have a Gospel outline with your lesson here. We want you to memorize Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. We have given you a Bible study with the lesson tonight. These questions are based on the lecture. Start immediately going over this Bible study, and you answer the questions in your own words. In most cases, we've given you a scripture text to use for your answer. And then the last challenge, endeavor to spend 15 minutes a day in devotions if this isn't your habit. Now may God bless you as you continue in your class session and as you go to your homes and as you complete your Bible study.